You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first. Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for $1 a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, $1. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades, an aloe vera lubricating strip, and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome ass grandfather had one blade and polio.
Looking good, pop up!
Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandro and I are gonna ship them right to you. We're not just selling razors, we're also making new jobs. Alejandra, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. So stop forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on. I know karate, I know jiu-jitsu, I drive like a gangster when I'm coming to see you.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes and assurances that absolutely nothing accidentally goes in one's butt. Listener discretion is advised. I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians too.
Gambling in Havana, I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Ha! Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Otherwise known as Chat Lives Matter Night, right here live on KLRM Radio. Unfortunately, it was the abbreviated version because she requested the night off, so I decided to push my show an hour forward and had a minute to get a few things done after work and then grabbed a shower, and the next thing I know, it was like 6:45. I'm like, crap. Because, yeah, I fell asleep. Anyway. Work has sucked. By the way, just to go back to the disclaimer, nothing ever accidentally goes in anyone's butt. Don't let them fool you. Anyway, Anyway, so hey, Artie, how are you? Thanks for that visual and the disclaimer, by the way. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I had just seen an article in the New York Post about a hole-in-one shot with some Australia. It's always Australia lately. some teen experimenting, and they thought that the doctors went to remove it and thought it was an egg toy, but it turned out to be a golf ball. So, yeah, nothing ever accidentally goes in one's butt. Million-in-one shot, Doc. Million-in-one shot.
So, I think what you're saying is Australia has become the Florida of the world.
Fresno. Florida, you know what? Florida's really working hard to redeem their Florida man persona.
Working hard, but haven't quite accomplished it yet. Getting closer, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there will always be Miami. And South Beach. Is that the same thing? I don't know. I don't know Florida.
I don't know Florida.
Florida is the Fresno of the United States.
I don't know Florida well enough either, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, South Beach, yeah, same thing. Anyway. Same thing.
How you doing, man? What do you got going on? What's going on with Rick? What's new in Rick's world?
Well, I married off my youngest on Sunday. That was fun.
Good?
They're on their honeymoon good now. Had to put up with the ex on Sunday. That was fun.
Well, you know.
But, you know, what are you going
to do? Look at it like this. Once you get all the family married, once you get all the kids married off, you don't have to deal with her anymore. Except for, like, occasional holidays. And then it's, you know.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, no, I mean, work's been crazy. We're about to finish one class of trainees. They've already started hiring more people, so I'll probably go straight from one class to the other. I forgot how tiring it is to teach people how to do my job.
Don't do too good of a job, because then they think they can replace you.
Anyway, so yeah.
Give them enough information to be competent, but not enough to be good.
Yeah. Most of the people I train wind up promoting elsewhere anyway, because nobody stays in my position for very long, because they're like, yeah, I could go to work like a million other places within this place, so yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm the idiot that stays. Hey, that should be... When I write my memoir one of these days, that will probably be my title. I'm the idiot that stays.
Pull that ripcord, man.
All right, so anyway, what's going on with you? What's new in your world? What's up with the Amish Powerball?
You know what's interesting is... So I've only been with the new company for like a year, right? And I'm amazed at being in the area that I'm in. Some of you who are on the Discord saw me drop some pictures the other day. I'm amazed that living in the area that we live in, somebody who's been here almost as long as me has never chained up a vehicle. So I had to teach them how to not just chain up a vehicle, but to drive on chains this week. It was actually kind of interesting, you know, being a trainer, but you know, not like really having a position of authority. But it was kind of cool, and I got to go, you know, got to change my scenery a little bit.
So, but, I can imagine you doing the whole chain thing. Like, you respect my authority, but I don't have any.
You know, it's kind of, it's, you forget, you know, it's when you do something just like, because I've been driving on chains my entire life. But when you do something that, you know, is just second nature to you and you're trying to explain it to somebody else and the frustration that builds it, anyway. Apparently, I'm a little choppy tonight. That's weird.
It's not coming through on my end. Do I sound choppy to anybody else?
Are we all coming through choppy, or is it just me?
I haven't heard anybody say anything yet, one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, I got a message on. You know what I'm going to do is turn down my...
Yep,
noise cancellation.
Whatever it is, it's on your end. Because they say, I'm fine. Ha-ha. But yeah, it's weird. You don't sound choppy at all on my end. Hang on, let's do this. I'm going to have to drop my volume to do this, otherwise it's going to sound really weird. So just think about something and start ranting for a second so I can do an audio check. Hang on just a second, though.
You know what? I had just a topic, too. Hang on, let me bring it up.
Man, it's not. I need to bring up the other stuff first. All right, there we go.
One of the things I noticed today is that, I mean, I don't know where he came from, but Chip, I mean, I know where he came from, and I know his, but still, Chip Roy is just absolutely crushing it in the judiciary hearings this week. Yeah, it's between calling out Maxine Waters for her past communist, socialist advocacy, and just, he's just crushing it out there, and good on him. And I think we need to have a little bit more. And I'm not going to start fangirling on him, because usually when I start fangirling on a politician, then all of a sudden they just do something incredibly fucking retarded. And so I'm just like, you know what? Today, Chip did good. So there was my rant.
Yeah, it is actually coming through a little broken. Hang on, let me try something.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, Jeff's saying, you sound decent, I'm a little chopped.
Alright, so we're going to do the usual for the choppy, and then see if that fixes it. Could be a bandwidth issue, though, because I have storms starting to spin up, so my internet always gets cranky when there's storms.
I saw you mention that.
Yeah, we may or may not get completely frozen over tonight, depending on which channel you watch. It's been fun. Anyway,
so the other good news of the day is Gawker is shutting down again.
Wait, what's shutting down again?
Gawker going away again.
Nice. Well, you know.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, they are the benchmark of what most modern left blogosphere. Media is upjumped bloggers in the media. Gawker was the one who started that. They were a shitty little gossip site with a heavy left wing bent, and they published a leaked video of Hulk Hogan having Hulk Hogan having sex, and so Hulk Hogan sued, and it bankrupted Gawker's original owners, and then. They got picked up by, who was it that picked them up? Bustle, Digital Group. Bustle. Anyway, yeah, so they got picked up by them. And now they're going away after not even a year. Well, no, actually almost just over a year and a half. And they got bought for almost $1.4 million. And, so goodbye, Gawker. You hated every second of you.
Somebody should have bought that for a dollar, not $1.4 million. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fire sale. I mean, pretty much you were buying Gawker's name as recognizable left-wing trash blog. And, the other good news is that they've laid off 8% across the board. So, eat a dick, Bustle. All of them.
Speaking of leftist, you know, getting their comeuppance. Did you hear what's happening to our I say it, quote unquote good friend Chris Wallace over at CNN?
No, I missed that.
Nobody's watching him.
Not
like at this point, I don't even think the CNN staff are tuning in.
They never do.
It's bad, dude. Apparently, he has like the lowest ratings ever in his time slot. So, yeah, apparently they're not happy.
You know what? I mean, okay, granted, you know, he threw a lot of that away, a lot of the goodwill he had away in the debates, 2020 debates, if you could call them that. And was it 2020 or 2016? I think it was 2020. Help me out, chat. Anyway, he threw away a lot of the goodwill just being fucking Dem shill, or at least, you know, appearing to be one. And then he bails out on what was quite a lucrative show on Fox to go to CNN Plus, which lasted all of a week. And so they kind of threw him a bone and gave him a show on CNN proper. And nobody's watching that either.
So, Zelda has an Amish crush, just so you know. She's like, your voice is so soothing. So soothing. Anyway. So yeah, again, I find the
I haven't gotten that since the early days of FUBAR. Thank you.
I find the irony of the title of his show amazing. So in January, CNN's Who's Talking to Chris Wallace averaged just 365,000 viewers. Only 48,000 of them were in the coveted 25 to 54 year old demographic, according to Nielsen. So, in the answer of who's talking, who's talking to Chris Wallace, apparently nobody.
Yeah, CNN loves to bank on the irony titles of the show because you had, you know, Tater on Reliable Sources.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, that title actually belonged to somebody else before Tater took it over, I think. If I remember the history of the show.
I mean, okay, that's fair. But, I mean, you got Anderson Cooper 360. The dude's a Vanderbilt, okay? He's never looked around once in his life. His nose is all the way up to anyone. So.
Speaking of things that never accidentally go in your rear end, his own nose up his own butt is not an accident. Just saying.
No. Yeah, no, that's not an accident either.
Oh, man. So did you hear the FBI searched Biden's beach house today? Of course, they found nothing.
Again, and which ironically coincided with the White House calling the lid at 9 a.m. They couldn't even make it to noon today. Weird, right? That's weird.
Yeah, pretty weird. But yeah, so according to the White House spokesperson, you know, they're continuing to cooperate with the FBI and general counsel and blah, 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 doing this and doing that, but he said absolutely nothing. The irony of this is, and I didn't know some of this until the story started coming out in full, they have known about these documents since before the election and sat on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The FBI is really nothing more than the Gestapo arm of the Democratic Party.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which I think is why they've started a new show on ABC called Rookie Feds, because, you know, Nathan Fillion has the show Rookies, and they've kind of made a spinoff kind of crossover thing called Rookie Feds. I think they're in the middle of trying to rehab the FBI again. I don't think it's going to work this time.
No. Yeah, the only time, I mean, you know what really went a long way to rehabbing the FBI was X-Files.
Yep.
And then, but the thing is, and this was, I mean, if you want to know the real party switching, and I know that this has been a thing, you know, this is for some reason with this account, it's my new climate change thing. Nobody tags me in for climate change anymore. Everybody tags me in for the party switching arguments because I guess I make them really well. But anyway, if you really want to know when the party switch, look at the X-Files from the 90s. That was when the Dems had a skeptical view of government. And this was under Clinton. So, and that carried into the 2000s. And then now all of us, and, you know, the Bush administration post 9/11, even though most of the libs over the Atlantic pushed the war because, like Bill Kristol, they get a big throbbing erection whenever they think of American soldiers dying. But, yeah, that's the real party switching. Is now you got the right who is skeptical of government, skeptical of the Fed, skeptical of police. You know, it's we're starting to realize that, you know, that boot works on our neck just as well. It's getting used a little too often.
I know, right? I mean, and that's the irony of it all, is everybody that is now the man grew up despising the man. And now they have become that which they chose to fight. And now
I spent my entire career fighting the man. I don't know if I can be the man.
Best line ever.
Yeah. So, no, but I mean, you know what did it? It was 20 years of the global war on terror. From the word go. I mean, it started out, you know, where it was, you know, everybody else was like, you know, Bush did 9/11. And then... Then you had Obama come in talking about how he was going to, you know, rein in the global war on terror and, you know, we were going to stop it. Then he expanded it. And then that's when we started going, you know, it's been 20 fucking years now. Maybe we should start to, you know, back off a little bit and,
yeah,
you know,
maybe
get out of the area. And that's what Trump started doing. And then Biden just fucking YOLO'd it.
Yeah, maybe stop trying to nation build quite so much. You know, JC has a very interesting point. What if Cancer Man is Fauci?
Cancer Man is Fauci. Well, okay, you're talking about that, the best X-Files line ever was they did an episode that was the whole life arc of Cancer Man. And there was one point where I think it was like in the 80s. It was when Jim Kelly was quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. And they're like, yeah, Buffalo Bills look like they're going to have a great season this year. And Cancer Man says, as long as I am alive, the Buffalo Bills will never win the Super Bowl. And under the meaning that you will do whatever it takes, because, you know, they were talking about, you know, what are you talking about, throwing a major sporting event? And they said, yeah, we did it in 1980 with the Miracle on Ice, Novocaine laced ring, tapping the Russian goalie on the shoulder. He was a little slow on the tick. The U.S. is up by 3.
Wow. That actually... Wait, why am I not included in this, Jeff? That would be awesome.
What's that?
I don't like you.
Anyway. Yeah, you know what? That we've been talking about that with on Discord. You know, kind of like hyping up Discord, the things we can do. Like Jeff did the, I don't know if you were out doing family thing, but over Christmas Jeff was doing the Star Wars Christmas holiday special, where he was broadcasting it in one of the KLRN rooms. And we were joking about doing an MST3K with, you know, we could actually do the Pauly Psi 3000 or 110 million K like that.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You just have like the silhouette panel, and you know how like you always pipe in the CNN audio of the debate,
yeah,
because it's the only one we can get for free. We could put that on the screen, and we could do our commentary while the debate is being live streamed over our Discord.
Okay, that would be pretty awesome.
Right. So. Anyway, yeah, no, totally live stream the X-Files.
Yeah, but Jeff, I'm a little sad.
You're invited. We invited Jeff onto Jex this weekend. You can come too.
But he didn't even include me. He just said, even if you already... No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm over it now.
So anyway, Jeff, if you're feeling better and you know you can do it, we'd love to have you on Jex this weekend. We are going to be doing UFOs. We haven't done UFOs. I don't think we did it in 2022, or if we did, we did it at the very early. No, we did. That was the episode we had. No, that was the roundtable we did on Owls that we were talking about UFOs. It was the only UFO thing we did in 2022.
Hey, Zelda, we can probably make that happen, because whenever she does decide to come back, if she does, we'll just have her back as a baby of the month on Toxic, and then that's everybody. She's like, I want to hear a show with Rick, Orty, G, Ike, and Fool. I'm like, we can make that happen. It's not.
I saw a great meme today.
It's like,
okay, so you want
24-year-old?
I saw a great meme today. So okay, so you're calling me a far right conspiracy theorist. What you mean is that so far the conspiracies have been right.
Pretty much.
I mean, think about it. Everything that we've done. I mean, this year you had Pentagon come out with UFO footage and. You know, the government aid that took over Blue Book that Harry Reid put up. You had the JFK assassination thing on Tucker. Everything we said about COVID and lockdowns and gain of function, that's all turning out to be true. You know, now we're supposed to be nice to those who, you know, locked us down because they were just doing what was best for us. And you know, they didn't know.
They were using the best information at the time and trying to save lives. Stop. Whatever, dude.
Anyway. You followed the science while we were actually telling you about the scientific method. Again,
yeah.
All of the dicks, eat them.
Here, enjoy this nice big satchel of Richards. I miss that liner.
Oh my god, I'm choking on a million talks here.
I miss that liner. I've been trying to figure out a way to work that one back in again. Because Ben's not with us anymore, so I can't have him redo anymore.
We got to get Ben back. I liked Last Pot on the Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were two old-school radio pros who never really got used to the fact that on podcasting, unless you just break out, you're never going to hit huge numbers. And they were like, right. We don't feel like anybody's listening. I'm like, dude, your numbers are better than half my shows, and we still do them.
We're still big in Trinidad and Tobago, though.
All right. I mean, that's the thing, though. You kind of have to decide, you know, are you doing this because you're trying to, you know, make a ton of money, or are you actually trying to see what you can do to change your corner of the world? I know what my answer is. It's been the same thing it's always been. I'm going to do what I can to try to change my corner of the world. If it catches on, great. If not, you know, even just doing what I do and or have been doing and opening up a platform for other people to come on and give their views and ideas, to me, that's already enough. So,
and I know those of you who've listened to the show for a while or been around the network for a while know the story, but it wasn't early in FUBAR, it was some point early enough in FUBAR where, you know, Sam was feeling kind of despondent. It's like, you know, feels like, you know, we're not really getting the traction and, you know, we're not moving the needle and anything. I said, that's not why we're here. You know, we're here so that way other people don't feel alone. You know, it's that, you know, if the media wants to isolate you and to make you feel scared and alone and use that to change your thinking maybe I'm crazy, maybe, you know, that everybody else has it right, and, you know, you give up. And, you know, I was explaining to Foos, you know, we're there to make sure that people understand they're not alone. You know, there are other people who think like they do and don't give up and just, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And that's what I enjoy about doing this, is that I know, you know, talking with you and the people who listen to us and, you know, do the other shows, is that we are, we're like-minded people. So that way, you know, we don't get wrapped up into the fear. You know, it's the, you know, the Paul chant, you know, fear is the little death. You know, fear is the mind killer. So that way you're not alone and afraid.
Now, the one thing I will say is I think some of the reason why everybody kind of felt like we weren't getting any traction is because of how filtered we were through our primary place that we try to promote, which is Twitter. Because since Elon's taken over, just as an example, I was kind of looking at the numbers for everybody today, and I don't usually try to do this on the show, but I figure, you know, why not? Most of the fans that are listening in the chat actually give a damn anyway. Since basically a lot of the throttling's been changed on Twitter, we are up 169% in listens in the last 30 days. That is, for the previous 60 days, we were up 100%. So in the last 2 months, since Elon's basically taken control of Twitter, we are up nearly 300% in listenership.
Which is big. I mean, okay, you think of it as like, so we got 10 live listens, we got 3 more. But still, that's 3 more people who don't feel alone, who don't, you know, and that's, you know, I'm not doing this like pat myself on the back of, hey, you know, I'm look how magnanimous I am. And, you know, no, it's just because I need you too, because that way with you in chat or with you listening or you, you know, hitting me up on Twitter after, at least I know, hey, you feel like I do too. You know,
yeah, and that honestly, really, there was a time when, you know, because after K98 folded and I started rebuilding rebuilding this one as KLRN Radio, there was a time when me doing my show, the only person in my chat for the longest time was Ron, because of how late I used to do America Off the Rails. And he was always there.
Always. That was when our chat was broke-ass chat, too.
Yeah. I mean, he was always there. Always. And honestly, him knowing that he was waiting on me sometimes was the only reason I would do a show. Like, I don't really feel like it today, and I don't know, and, you know, well, I mean, back then I was, you know, going through what I didn't know then was the beginning stages of a divorce, and had somebody yelling at me all the time about all the time and energy I was putting into this, and it's because she never understood it. To her, it was a waste of time. She didn't see anything that we were doing as making a difference, and I'm like, that's because you're not paying attention. It's like, this is what got me onto live radio here in the state. How could you not see that it is somehow making a difference? Anyway.
Well, even then, even if you just look at it as a hobby, it makes a difference to you. Happy life.
I know, right?
It's important.
Well, and that's the other thing, you know. This is not meant in a negative way at all. For those of you that are in relationships, whether it's a long-term relationship, whether you're married, whatever, you need hobbies that you can do together when you want to, and you need hobbies that allow you to be separate from each other. Because if the person that you are with, if their only source of happiness is you, eventually that source of happiness is going to go away. Because you're going to change throughout the life of your relationship. You're not going to be the same person that they originally pledged their love to. So things are going to change. So if your relationship and your ability to do things separate from one another doesn't go along with it, eventually you're going to grow apart. Because that's exactly what happened with us. I couldn't do anything that didn't involve her.
I remember that.
But now,
all that.
But the irony of that was she was publicly telling everybody how much she liked the fact that I would go do my thing and she could go do her thing and then we would still spend time together on the weekends and whenever. And that was awesome. But as soon as nobody else was around, it was, you're only going to do what I want you to do when I want you to do it. Excuse me. But yeah, so, you know, not to turn this into relationship corner, but the truth of it is, if you are involved in a long-term relationship of any kind, whether it's friendship, actual relationship, whatever, your relationship has to be able to grow and change as you grow and change, or it's never going to make it. So make sure that you have healthy hobbies that you can do together, and make sure that you have things that you can do when the other person isn't with you, so that you're not always off in your own head or off thinking about doing stupid things. It really is pretty much that simple. I mean, that's why all of this started years ago. She was gone for almost 4 years because her dad got sick and then her stepmom got sick. So I saw her usually one day out of the week for almost 4 years. So I started doing this because I got really lonely and I started thinking about doing really stupid things. So I started doing this a long time ago. And I've been doing it ever since.
And look what lasted.
I know, right?
Okay, so totally off topic, but I realized I was listening this weekend and bled in a little bit the next couple days. I forgot how good early Peter Gabriel was. Before Sledgehammer, Sledgehammer was a fantastic video and everything, but that song drives me up the fucking wall. But you talk about Salisbury Hill or Games of the Frontier, that fucking brilliant.
Damn it, now even, I have it. I hate you right now. I hate you right now because now I have Sledgehammer in my head.
Yeah, you know what? The cure for that is go listen to Salisbury Hill or Games Without Frontiers.
I hate you right now.
Yeah. No, trust me, I know, because what actually started that was me trying to get Sledgehammer out of my head.
Oh, no. Was on, see, you don't understand because there's a backstory here. For some reason, that is one of my dad's favorite Peter Gabriel songs. And my dad loves to dance to this song. And pulls out every John Travolta move he ever knew to this song. So anytime that song gets stuck in my head, I'm watching my dad doing the cha-cha across the living room floor. I hate you.
Something about John Travolta today, because I was mentioning Boy in the Bubble movie. For you young kids, one of his first things was the actual Boy in the Bubble, which was like a big thing back in the 70s.
So for future reference, what he says for you young kids, he's talking to you, Zelda.
Well, yeah, because almost everybody else is Gen X. And, so.
Oh, no, she just pointed out that I was being kind of salty earlier, so I just figured I'd pour some more on.
Man. Wait, okay. Which Karate Kid song? The You're the Best Around one?
No, I think he's talking about the sappy one at the end.
Oh, you made Zelda mad.
No, I didn't.
Because the only thing better than the You're the Best song from Karate Kid is whatever the fucking was the Over the Top song from Over the Top.
Oh, I know what song you're talking about, but now I can't think of it.
It's Over the Top.
Oh, I guess it is. I guess it is actually called Over the Top.
You know, when he'd before he'd start arm wrestling, he'd turn his hat around and Oh, God, glory, love, Jesus
Christ. That's the one they were talking about right there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only one that would fall into the annoying category, like Sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah. God. Who was that? Was that Bryan Adams?
I think so. I don't know. It's been a minute. Funny thing is, I'm a sap, so I actually used to kind of like that song when I was younger. Can't stand it now.
I think it was Bryan Adams. So...
Peter Cetera.
Oh, God, just as bad. Peter came. Nope, different Peter, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, no, well, it was two Peters.
And full Peter.
Jeff, it's your fault.
Okay, I'll take blame on that.
Not you.
Okay.
He was talking about how jealous his left hand was, so since he mentioned that, I said it's all his fault. Because now we're talking about a handful of Peters.
Anyway. What else you got going on? What's grinding your gears?
grinding? Not so much. It's been fun watching, again, the differences between, you know, how the document situation is going with the Biden administration versus the Trump administration. So that's fun.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, that's just the lovely, lovely stuff there. And then, you know, why does Trump got to be doing stuff like this already? He's calling DeSantis a rhino globalist.
You know what, I'm not going to get into that, Frank. I mean, yeah, okay. I know why. Because it worked for him in 2016. And, I mean, pretty much you have to ignore everything Trump did during COVID. And you can argue that he was doing what he thought was best given the information that he had. Okay, well, you can't turn around and use that against DeSantis when he was following your lead.
Yeah, I mean,
you can, but it's absolute, you know, pure unrefined autism to do so.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, with Trump saying that, I mean, it's like he's forgetting the fact that, you know, he's primarily part of the reason DeSantis is in the position that he's in now anyway. So why in the hell would you turn against the guy? It makes no sense to me. So here's the thing that I don't understand, because, and this is, this is from today. Because from watching the news today, the media in the president's Rehoboth beach vacation home. But accordingly, they have discovered an undisclosed number of documents. So I'm really confused, because the news that I saw earlier said they found nothing. Now apparently the Blaze is reporting that they may have after all.
And that's just it. Oh, they didn't find anything. Well, you know, they did find this one paper, and then, you know, well, okay, it was a binder full of paper.
Well, so, but this
they're not all classified, just, you know, everything after the cover sheet that said classified on it.
Well, yeah.
But,
so this is my thought with that, though, you know, because, and this is the other part of the story that only really came out over the last couple of days. The FBI, they originally did their document search November 15th. So you're telling me that, after the election, in November, they found documents in the, wherever they found them originally, which I guess that's when they found them in the think tank. And then they waited almost 3 months to search the beach house. So you're telling me that in the time frame between then and now, somebody in the Biden administration wasn't smart enough to get the shit out of there?
Yeah. See, and that's just it. It's the capital D different, in the parenthetical D, as it were. And, yeah, it's all just so damn annoying. But the thing is, the fact that the media is being forced to report on this now, you know, they can't just kind of like, even they're starting to push back on token McCarpet Muncher. That just... You like that still. But, it's just... It's also tiring. It's just... the unrelenting narcissistic gaslighting that, I mean, don't get me wrong, yeah, Trump did it too. I mean, every president has, but holy shit, at least have some humility at some point. Knowing that the press is going to carry your water for you, at least try to, I don't know, be a little honest.
Pretty scary, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know the media is going to sit there and just fucking clean up for you anyway. Well, you know, what she really meant to say was this. You know, and then you'll have Glenn Kessler running into fact check that, you know, well, technically what she said was true, even though it's a bold-faced lie.
What I love is when they ask her a question and she's like, well, I would defer you to the DOJ for any follow-ups on this particular matter. So then they reach out to the DOJ and DOJ is like, I'm sorry, we don't comment on ongoing investigations.
Yeah, that's by design.
Like, what? So you're telling us we need to get our information from these people. These people are telling us they won't give us any information, which means then we have to come back to you and say, hey, why won't these people give us any information? Well, again, I would refer you to the DOJ and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, no. But no, I mean, the pushback on her, the fact that it was one thing. I mean, it was funny when it was Fox News doing it. But now that everybody's starting to get on board, it's just more proof that I think... You know, I'm not saying anything because I was completely wrong this last cycle, but the fact that the media is finally starting to turn against him could speak very big volumes for the lack of his future. Because they don't like him anymore.
Sorry.
Are you having a stroke over there?
I kind of, yeah. I'm formulating thoughts. I mean, just frustrating.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
So, wait a minute. So, I got to, hang on. I don't want to pull this up because please tell me this is a joke. Because I'm pretty sure this is basically what the left lives for. Former FTX spokesman and Biden supporter Stephen Curry seeks to block construction of affordable housing near his $31 million mansion. So what now? So NBA star Stephen Curry, and his wife Aisha live in a mansion valued at over $31 million in Atherton, California. They have recently expressed strong opposition to a proposal to transform nearby single home acreage into a property that could house dozens of less fortunate families. Families whose relative wealth may have been eaten away by inflation during President Joe Biden's term or tenure, or diminished in the FTX crash. Curry, who endorsed Biden in 2020 and promoted FTX as part of his long-term partnership, noted in a letter to the town of Atherton that he hesitated to add to the not in our backyard, literally rhetoric, but nevertheless suggested that the possible construction of 16 three-story townhomes nearby would generate major concerns in terms of both privacy and safety.
You know, and that's always the way, because if you ever want to just see, you know, pure, just NIMBY bullshit, try to put a formulaic gated community. I mean, that was Robert Reich's full thing about, I mean, he petitioned and I think he won, preventing affordable housing going anywhere near his gated community. So, I mean, Ted Kennedy, you know, all about wind power, except for when they want to put giant windmill farm off of Hyannisport. I mean,
it's all crazy, ain't it?
Yeah. Eat the bugs, live in the box, ride the train.
Dude, I think we may have talked about this last week, but I don't remember if we did or not. Did you see the story that they're going to start putting, like, I think it's cricket powder in, like, British food?
Yeah, they were talking about brewing beer with it too and things. It's just, no.
I was like, what are you, guys. Why? What? Why? Just why?
See, the point is they don't want you to eat the bugs. That's not what they want. It's humiliation. That's what they want. An invading force needs to humiliate you. And we have been invaded. We have been conquered. So eat the bugs, live in the box, ride the train.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not to make this an off the rails, but it goes back to part of the intro that I've been using since 2018, which is a line from the movie They Live. I kind of feel like we're living that now, and just nobody's got the glasses to prove it yet. Anyway. Yep. Great flick. Cheesy.
It really was.
Cheesy, but great.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those...
Zelda's like, damn it, they're talking about old people shit again.
Yeah. If you got it, it's a lifelong reference. It's like, you know, the important parts of Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Which the important parts of Demolition Man, it wasn't the action. It was the subtext.
Yeah. Which is ironic when you think about it, because when I first started doing America Off the Rails, the Green Jello rant was part of my opening back then. So apparently I have a theme. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, that was one of my biggest takeaways from that movie, was realizing that, you know, the people like you and I would be the ones in the sewer.
Yes.
Because
we said you're friendly.
Oh, but yeah, actually, I just rewatched that again the other day. Believe it or not, it still kind of holds up. I was kind of surprised. I'm not used to not seeing...
Sandra Bullock's ass doing a lot of heavy lifting in that.
Yeah, I'm not used to seeing Sylvester Stallone not look like an 80-year-old man now, but that was interesting.
There's that, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't yet, if you have Paramount Plus, I do encourage you to check out Tulsa King, because it's actually really, really good. To the point where I honestly thought I was going to hate it. Because there's another one that Paramount Plus tried to do where it's kind of the same. It's not really the same, but sort of is. And it's about a family that, or a guy that is a warden of a prison. And it's this big, huge, acclaimed show, and I can't even think of the title of it right now. And I tried to watch it, like, once because I liked the actor that was in it, and I was like, eh, nope, this one isn't going to work for me.
Prison Break?
No. I actually liked that one. Once I realized what it was, I never actually watched Prison Break when it was out originally. I didn't even really get into
it. Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't get into it until after the guy that actually played on Prison Break started playing the dumbass in Arrow and Flash.
You know what's funny is I actually didn't watch Prison Break because I blamed Dominic Purcell for John Doe getting canceled. Even though I know he had nothing to do with it, I just boycotted him because that was such a good show. And then
I loved that show. It was really good. It was really well done. It was a good premise, and it's another one of those ones that really pissed me off though because I got invested in the characters. And then it was just gone. And I hate that.
And again, Hollywood's mistrust of the government at the time. I mean, that was an X-Files tier show.
No, yeah.
Dark Angel. And what's the one that... Dollhouse. And yeah, all of those had that theme at that time.
Yeah, there was what was it? Archangel, Dollhouse. There was another one that I can't think of the name of either. That was similar to Dollhouse, but not exactly.
Archangel.
Dark
Angel. That was where Jessica Alba really got her breakout.
Yeah, no, I remember.
That was a James Cameron.
I thought there was another one though too, but I could be wrong. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, who doesn't like Jessica Alba in skin-tight clothes?
Right. Yeah, that whole wet leather phase in the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s was a really good decade in a lot of ways.
For that, yeah.
We hadn't gone completely woke yet, but at the same time...
But that's when it started. That's political correctness. That's when it came around.
Oh, I know.
That's the thing. Thank you, Clinton.
And that's why I laugh at everybody that's like raging about that 90s show being so woke. I'm like, you realize that's when that started, right? Actually, right in the time frame that they're talking about is when all that shit started. It was 1995. That's when everybody started, well, we gotta start being more politically correct. No, we don't. Apparently now we do. Because, you know, words hurt or something. Anyway.
So what are you watching now?
Let's see. But of course, watching The Rookie, I still kind of watch Rookie Feds only because it comes on after. So Tuesday night's actually kind of become a night that I usually watch a little bit of TV on as I'm falling asleep because The Rookie comes on, Rookie Feds comes on, and then Will Trent comes on afterwards. I'm still getting used to an Hispanic-looking guy with a thick Georgia accent playing a Georgia Bureau of Investigations guy, but the premise of the show is amazing. It's kind of like Monk without the... It's Monk with OCD, but not like, you know, crazy OCD like Monk had. It reminds me a lot of that show because he like sees things nobody else does. And he actually bet one of the cops in this last one. He's like, I bet you I can solve this case by the end of the night. No way! And then he bet him. Of course, it's the first time he hasn't done it, which I thought was funny. The cop comes back the next day, I want my money. Double or nothing, I can have it solved by tonight. Stupid cop, because he wound up doing it. Anyway.
Damn it.
I've been watching that. Actually, I got into, and this is going to sound a little weird, but there's a cartoon show on Amazon Prime called Vox Machina. I actually got into that when they started talking about the season 2 coming out. I realized I hadn't watched season 1 yet. And because I got into Lower Decks, I've kind of really started enjoying, like, quirky cartoons. So I've been looking for more of those. And I have been binge-watching a lot of the comic book shows on HBO Max. Because they have, like, all the old-school, like, cartoon Green Lanterns and stuff. So I'll turn those on a lot when I'm trying to sleep. Those are fun.
Oh, nice. So. Cool. Cool, cool.
So what about you? What are you watching?
You're really nothing. It's... Okay, so I started playing this new game. It's called... Surviving the Abyss, and it's really early access. It's really, really beta. And it's kind of like an alternate history survival game. If you heard me talk about Frostpunk, which was a really fun game, too. It's kind of like that. Yeah, Jeff, I've seen you've been playing Final Frontier a lot lately, too. I want to ask you if they made updates to that. It's kind of like, so, 1956, they figured out the human genome and everything, but the first cloning attempts were... went bad, so they were universally banned, and so governments start, like, you're part of the scientific team that's down at the bottom of the ocean in the abyss, trying to work on cloning and using, like, you know, the fish that are down there for your genetic stock to breed. It's really this trippy little game, but anyway, I've been into it, and then by the time my head hits the pillow, I'm fucking out.
Nice. Well, I mean, at least
so, yeah. Yeah, so it's like I'll turn something on TV, but I couldn't actually tell you what I'm watching.
And I mean, the other thing that I've been kind of turning on just as background noise, because I realize CBS, our parent, I keep wanting to call it CBS All Access.
Sorry, Farthest Frontier. Yeah. Go ahead.
The other thing I've kind of been turning on is background noise, because I realized that Paramount Plus has it, is Jagged. I know, it's an old people show, but I like it.
Jagged.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that the first season, mm-hmm. and the first couple seasons, and then it definitely just became like, okay, we know we're just background noise for old people, and so, yeah.
I mean,
you think about all the shows that spun off, not like direct spinoffs, but...
Yeah. I mean, same executive producer, and I think that's... What I'm disappointed in, and I really wish they would have thought this part through, when they first launched NCIS, what they should have done is done them as partner shows and made it like two-part Law and Order, but military. You got the NCIS investigating the crimes, the JAG prosecuting. That would have been awesome.
That would have been good crossovers. You know, for like, you know, big, you know, like season cliffhangers or shit like that. That would have been that would have been smart TV.
Yeah, but by then Catherine Bell was already making like Hallmark movies and everything else, so I think they were looking for an out. I don't really know what happened to David James Elliott after Jag. I never really saw him on anything else. But then again, as somebody that actually is from an Air Force family, a 6'2" fighter pilot, yeah, not very common. Just saying.
No. For those of you who don't know, most pilots are pretty short, so that way they can fit in the cockpit.
So yeah, the whole idea of, this big, tall, 6'2", 6'3" dude climbing into a Tomcat, yeah, no.
No, the reason why, the dirty little secret, the reason why Tom Cruise was perfect for, Top Gun.
Because he was
short.
Because
he's small.
Well, that's just it. Most fighter pilots are, because you have to be a compact frame to fit in there, because those things are not... I mean, I've been in one. Like I said, my stepdad was in the Air Force, so we used to get to go play around on the base all the time when they were doing, we're going to have an F-16, come climb in and sit down. Even being like 12, 13, 14 years old, climbing into one of those, I was like, dude, I don't know if I could do this as an adult. I know I can't now. I'm too damn big. But anyway.
Same with helicopter pilots, too. You got all the space in the world in a helicopter. Except for up in the... Yeah.
Well, helicopter pilots are short, because if not, you lose your head.
Right. Well, there's that, too. Literally.
Yeah, don't want to lose your head, bro. Just don't lose your head. I think not that I've really paid that much attention to most of it, because, like I said, it's usually running as background noise when I'm trying to sleep. But I have caught up on some of the stuff I missed about the whole underlying storyline about his dad being a POW. So that's been kind of interesting, because there's some things I'd forgotten about there. For those of you that are not fans of NCIS, just so you know, another NCIS show is about to bite the dust. NCIS Los Angeles, this is their final season. Which, ironically, for the one that does the least NCIS things, it's one of the most popular ones, so I'm pretty sure the rest of them are about to go away, too.
I think that's... It's kind of like, Chicago Night. I think that's, run its course, too.
Well, the irony of that is, I think that's why ABC has done what they've done and put Rookie Feds and the Rookie and Will Trent all on the same night, is I think they're trying to combat that whole Chicago Night thing that ABC has going on. And I don't know if maybe it's working. Maybe that's why they're panicking. I don't know. Because the rookie used to be on Sunday nights, so I'm kind of surprised they moved it. So there had to be a reason behind the move.
I think they're just panicking because nobody's watching network TV anymore.
Could be. Anyway, believe it or not, my friend, that's it. We've done an hour with no breaks.
Yeah. We talk about it on Culture Shift quite often. That, I mean, just the minutes watched on like one Netflix show, it destroys all network broadcasts combined.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is true.
Okay, so I've seen this talked about. I just want to get this off my chest really quick. How is it that Tucker Carlson and fucking Sean Hannity have any crossover whatsoever? Viewers, it absolutely boggles my mind, because you've got Tucker Carlson, who is the basic, and I don't watch a lot of Fox News, but I can just tell from the clips that come across my Twitter feed. That's kind of what brought this up. So Tucker Carlson is pretty much the new right, in that we're anti-war, and then you have Sean Hannity with fucking Lindsey Graham on, one of the biggest warmongers on the fucking planet, who isn't Bill Kristol, and they're on. I just had to get that off my chest.
I don't understand most of what's going on at Fox News anymore, to be honest. The only thing I usually watch at all, usually I'll catch some of Tucker, like his monologues, but usually I get those off of YouTube. The only thing I actually watch from Fox is usually Waters and Gutfeld, because those are really the only two that make any sense to me anymore.
Yeah, I don't watch anything on Fox, I follow a wide variety of people, and so I'll get hardcore Trumpists and everything like that. And it just blows my mind.
Alright, well, we should probably get out of here because I have to work in the morning and I have a trainee sitting with me, so I don't want to yawn all morning. So, yay,
fuck yeah, time. Same. Not with the trainee, but the work tomorrow. So where can people find you this week?
Well, this week you can find me on... well, I'm off tomorrow, but I'll be back on Friday night, I think, pushing buttons for West Coast BS. And then you and I will be on with Jeff on Saturday doing UFOs on Juxtaposition.
Yes.
So fun times.
If Jeff is feeling good.
Well.
I haven't gotten firm, yes, but he'll be there.
If he's feeling good enough to make left-hand, right-hand jokes, he better be there. Just saying.
He's busting our balls in chat. He can be there.
Anyway.
He will be there.
You brought this on yourself. You brought this on yourself. Good night.